a flurry of activity going on in Iowa right now. That's because it's maybe not the last word before the primaries, but we're getting very close, especially when you stick the holiday break in the middle of it there. We've got candidates everywhere trying to get some come-from-behind surge going on, because at the moment, Ron Paul is ahead in the polls. But you've got Rick Santorum, Rick Perry, and Michelle Bachmann all out there shaking hands and saying hello.
Hi, I'm Michelle Bachmann. What's your name? Oh, thank you. You get a kiss for that.
Oh, yeah. That is Michelle Bachmann at a public library in the small town of Brooklyn, Iowa. She stopped there for about 10 minutes or so. Very packed schedule, and Anna Sale was there, a reporter for itsafreecountry.org, which is the politics website for our co-producer, WNYC. What's going on there with Michelle Bachmann?
Michelle Bachmann is keeping a very packed schedule. She's getting in about more than 10 stops a day. And this stop in Brooklyn, Iowa, was sort of, you could see the way that she does that. Her bus rolled up. She was in. She walked around the room and shook hands with about the 30 people there. And she was out within about 10 minutes. She took one question about the payroll tax cut and how it would affect Social Security. And she answered again that it put Social Security at risk, which is something she said before and been fact-checked on, because the money that comes out from that payroll tax cut does get replaced by the general fund, something she didn't mention to this crowd. But she was about halfway through that answer, and then one of her minders said, we've got to get back on the road. But before then, she got everybody together for a local backdrop for a campaign video that they recorded. Listen to this.
Okay, so everybody's going to be famous. Come on around. And it's not pain to leave it. Hi, everybody. My name is Michelle Bachmann. We are here in beautiful Brooklyn, Iowa. We're at the Brooklyn Library, and it's a gorgeous library. And as you can see, here in Poneshiek County, you have the most good-looking people you'll ever find in Iowa anywhere. I need your support at the Iowa caucuses on January 3rd. Would you take a moment just now to watch this important video? This will explain how to go to the Iowa caucus system. It's not painful. It's easy to do.
So you see, she came in and she talked for just a moment, and now she has this video that shows she was in this town, in this county, and that's going to go up and help try to organize and turn out folks to the caucus.
Well, how is that kind of message, how is that kind of in-person tiny stops working out for her? Have we seen any movement in the polls, not just for Michelle Bachmann, but for anybody?
Not yet. And this is the Rick Santorum and Michelle Bachmann strategy right now, is that they're hoping that organization really matters in this state. When you've got Newt Gingrich, you know, he's fallen, but he's still hanging around in the polls. You know, Ron Paul is also doing this. A lot of meetings and greetings in small towns in Iowa. And what they're hoping is, because there's this, you know, still huge split among the voters who are not supporting Mitt Romney, people are hoping that if they can make that direct one-on-one contact with somebody who then, you know, tells their friends and then gets people to the caucus, then that's what could be the difference. And I talked to a voter at the Michelle Bachmann event who's a conservative, who's a Christian, and she acknowledged that this is pretty different than 2008 when everybody was supporting Mike Huckabee. This is Connie Morrison from Malcolm, Iowa.
It's different than last time around, having it split, but I guess I still have to vote my conscience on it and not think of what is expedient.
So she said she's decided on Michelle Bachmann because she believes that her Christian worldview will affect the way that she governs.
How does that split affect participation when it's split like this? When you don't, when you don't perhaps have consensus, does that mean there are going to be fewer people at the polls?
Well, that's the question. That's the question, because the people who come out to the caucuses are generally enthusiastic voters, are people who, you know, I've talked to many, just even registered Republicans who haven't made it part of their sort of general practice to go to the caucus. Even I talked to a woman who was a political science major 10 years ago in college, and she went to the caucus that year because she got credit for it for class, and she hasn't been back since, even though she studied political science. So that's what the grassroots strategy is to turn people out, because, you know, this is not like New Hampshire. This is not everybody goes out and votes, and independents can vote as well. Independents outnumber Republicans in Iowa, but the Iowa caucus is, you've got to be a registered Republican, and turnout is historically low. The turnout in 2008 was 12% when you had both the Democrats and the Republicans voting, and you can remember that that was a huge unexpected turnout. It generally is about 6%. So very few people get out. So that's the strategy, is trying to energize and activate supporters and try to create some kind of consensus that's just not there yet in the polls.
We're speaking with Anna Sale, reporter for our co-producer WNYC's politics website, itsafreecountry.org. And she's in Iowa City this morning, right?
I'm in Council Bluffs this morning.
Okay, she's traveling around Iowa following some of these candidates as they try to squeeze out those last two votes. We talked about the Christian worldview that you said when you were talking about Connie Morrison and Malcolm. Is it mostly Christian conservative things, issues that are influence people's votes, or is it mostly the economy? What are people worried about most?
Well, that's what was interesting. I met a farmer named Ed Deneve at the Michelle Bachmann event, and he had been supporting Ron Paul up until the debate last week, and then was just turned off by his positions on foreign policy. But for him, he's much more concerned about the economy, and he wants to cut government spending. And this is what he said. It's kind of an interesting point of view for a farmer from Iowa. It's not what you typically hear. This is what he said.
The government's been supporting large farms for 50 years. And now we're getting down to where we haven't got too many independent farmers left. I guess I think it's terrible the way the large farmers get the payments. They force the smaller farmers out, and it's just a vicious cycle that keeps going.
So he's against farmer subsidies?
He's against farmer subsidies, and he doesn't know who his candidate is right now.
So at this point, it sounds like, Anna, it's still up in the air in Iowa. It could be anybody's game.
It's very much up in the air. I mean, Ron Paul is, again, leading in the polls, and he's got a long history in the state. He organized in 2008 for the caucus then. And then you've got sort of powerhouse groups like the Family Leader, which is a group that organized against those three judges that had voted, and that, you remember, in 2009, mm-hmm. gay marriage became legal in Iowa because of a court decision. A year later, three judges were voted out. So there's a social conservative group named the Family Leader that led that campaign. They have chosen not to endorse, and they sent out a clarifying statement yesterday saying it's not that we couldn't reach consensus. Everybody on our board supported Rick Santorum, but we acknowledge that other supporters of ours don't, so we're just going to keep out of it.
That's Anna Sales. She's a reporter for WNYC's politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Our co-producer. Thanks so much, Anna.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.